Interview Ringo Starr, London, December 1968.
Last week was quite a controversial week for the Beatles. Yeah. How close are you? We've had reports that you're not as close as you used to be and that the Beatles aren't as rich as everyone's thought they were and that they might
true.
Have to close down Apple.
Yes, well, that's
How true is this, Ringo?
Well, should we take them one at a time?
Yes.
All right, what was the first one?
Are you as close?
Yes. You know, there's that famous old saying, you always hurt the one you love. And we all love each other, and we all know that, but we still sort of hurt each other occasionally, you know, where we just misunderstand each other. And we go off, you know, and it builds up to something bigger than it ever was. And then we have to come down to it and get it over with, you know, and sort it out. And so we're still really very close people. What's the second one?
Do you see the Beatles going on like they are at the moment for a long time in the future, or do you see a split very soon?
It depends what you mean as a split. I mean, we split...
Go your separate ways and not...
Completely, no, together. We'll never go... Oh, I can't say never, but I mean, we won't go our separate ways after this album, and we'll always be tied up with each other in some way. You know, because we've signed a lot of papers and says we stayed together for 20 years or something. And Apple closing, you know, is silly. We have spent a lot of money, you know, because we don't earn as much as people think, because if we earn $1 million, then the government gets 90% and we get 10,000. And we didn't, you know, sort of realise how much we were spending, you know, like someone pointed out, to spend 10,000 you have to make 120. But we just spend as 120. So all we're doing now is tightening up on our own personal money and on the company's money, you know, we're not just giving as much away and handouts and things like that, you know, and as many projects. We're going to cut down a bit till we've sorted ourselves out again and do it properly as a business.
Do you feel you have been a bit careless with money?
Yes, I think we have. But it's not that we're broke. On paper, we're very wealthy people. Just when it gets down to pound notes, we're only half wealthy.
Are you concerned about public opinion? Because there is a suggestion that your popularity isn't as strong as it used to be.
No, it isn't. It's because, you know, when we first started, we were the nice, clean mop tops and every mother's son, and everyone loved us. And then suddenly, you know, there's a few things that they don't understand and they don't get and, you know, they don't like. And so it turns them off us a bit, you know. But I still think we're very popular. It's just you know, we're men now, you know. We're a bit older than those lads that started out. And we've got a lot of things to do, you know. And you've got to do a few of them. It doesn't matter, you know, what people say. You can't live all your life by what they want. You know, we can't go on forever as four clean little mop tops playing She Loves You.
You seem to be the more industrious Beatle.
No, I'm the laziest Beatle, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, see, that's just my image. You know, I'm quite happy to finish an LP and go and sit back. But I can enjoy myself just sitting back, you know, and playing at home with all the toys and the kids and the wife. I enjoy playing with the wife.
Interview with Ringo Starr, London, July 1970.
We're all still good pals and we're all good players and we like to play together.
Yeah. You're all friends again now, which is a lovely thing.
We've always really been friends. I mean, we've had our little niggles.
Yes.
But, I mean, we've always talked to each other, you know.
Yes.
So it hasn't been as...
Even through the Cold War.
Even through... Well, you know, it's never been as tough as the press sort of made out, you know.
Yes.
We did at least acknowledge each other all the time.
Mm.
You know, mm. We weren't
spoke
like,
to each other on the telephone.
Yes,
if there was a
and saw each other. I mean, I saw everyone.
Yeah.
Basically, because I'm in England, I see George and Paul.
Yeah.
And in America, I saw John. I mean, John and Paul haven't seen each other because of the 3,000 miles different, mainly, you know,
yes.
in the travelling. But that was all. I'm sure if John had still been here, they'd have met each other. We'd have all met each other, you know.
Yes. You know, I've just got this feeling that if anyone is likely to get the Beatles to reform again, it's going to be you. Because
well, they say that. I don't know why.
Well,
I mean, you know,
it must
maybe
be
it's because I'm so nice.
It might have something to do with that, Judah. You know? Don't you think that
no,
could happen?
No, it's down to the four of us. Not any one of us can do it. I mean, Paul used to be the one to get everything together.
Yes,
you know, he'd phone us up. John and I'd be sitting in the garden. He'd phone up saying, well, should we do an album? We'd say, oh, yeah, okay, because what are we doing sitting in the garden? we'll go and do an album, you know. He used to be the one to get things moving, really.
Yes. Would you like to do it again?
Well, I wouldn't like to go out on the road and everything again. I think we could... The thing we could do was record together yes. again. That's about it. I wouldn't fancy going on the road with anyone.
No. Not a stage concert again.
No, we'd have to get all that makeup on and aisle sneakers. Well, I'm not shaving my beard off for anyone. Maybe I'll just have it dyed gold.
You just grow into being a myth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
It's a lovely idea of you all being together again.
It's like, well, you know... I don't know when those old vaudeville stars coming back. They never make it. I mean, I'm not saying we can't make it. It's shitty, see. You can't answer these questions in reality.
Well, there's no question you're not making it. I mean, you have a ready-made audience, wouldn't you? I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, you've all got your own.
Yes, but we stopped touring even, you know, after a couple of years because of what the albums. We could never reproduce that on stage.
Yes.
You know, so if we got together, we still wouldn't be able to reproduce it, I don't think, unless we did a very four-man album, you know, not too much effects.
Yes, yes. Do you think it's heading that way? You've really
Which
answered
it. I didn't mean
about you reforming again.
Yeah, there's no answer to that.
No answer to that. It's in the lap of the gods.
Well, we're the gods.
Right.
Another good quote.
Are you tired of people asking you whether the Beatles will get together again?
Not tired.
Because they're always asking me, you see.
Well, I know. Well, if they're always asking you, imagine how many people ask me.
Yes.
I mean, that's all anyone ever says, you know. And no one of us can answer that.
No.
That's the point.
No.
And the four of us haven't sat around to talk about it seriously, about recording again. Because, you know, we did have some musical differences and we'd have to overcome them again. Mm. Also, you see, even when we first... listen to all our albums.
Yes.
I mean, just listen to them and you can see where we're all going, you know.
Mm.
And you'd have to melt all that again, you know.
Mm.
So that's the difference. Mm.
Do you think you'll be happy to go on in show business?
Yes, I'm Mr. Show Business, you know. Yeah, I'm about the most show business out the group, you know. I quite enjoy all that entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just strange for me when I'm up front, you know, after all those years at the back.
Yes,
and then suddenly I'm up there dancing and singing. And, you know, I have to get used to that a bit more.
Have you had dancing lessons, Ringo?
No, I had one when I was about 8, a tap dancing lesson, but a friend and I went to the it was above a co-op shop in Liverpool, yes. But there was too many girls there for us, and we left. I've been trying to get back ever since. Yeah, we're just these, you know, when you're 8, you know, you're going through that scene about, no, they're only girls, you know, they're not really human. When you get to 9, then you start to realise what it's all about.
Looking back, what do you look upon as the most momentous moment in the career of the Beatles for you?
I think the first one's always the sharpest, and that was Love Me Do, you know, getting right up to 47.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was like the most incredible scene, that we had a record out, you know, that we had a bit of plastic with us on. For me.
Mm.
Then you got like the Palladium was another whole different scene, and then you got like America was another scene. You know, we had a lot of scenes, but the first one is the most powerful, and that was Love Me Do for me. I mean, that was more powerful than I think Please Please Me making number one.
Yes.
Just the idea of being on a bit of plastic, you know, was really incredible after all those years of playing.
When you look back on it, how do you react about that period, you know, which was a most amazing period, really, wasn't it?
It was the worst time and the best time in my life.
It was.
I mean, the best time because we played a lot of good music and we had a lot of good times, and the worst time because it's not... Touring is never a pleasure, you know. Playing was always the pleasure, but what goes with it, you know, and especially for a group who was as big as us, where it was like 24 hours a day with no break, with press and people fighting to get into your room, you know,
yes.
Climbing 25 stories of drain pipes, knocking on your window. I mean, it never stopped, and that was wasn't the good part of it.
No.
But the shows, I mean, no one ever complained about them. It was just that everything that went around us would have, if we'd have carried on, I personally would have gone insane.
You would have done.
You know, and I also think if you do too much touring, and in those days we only played 12 numbers, we got really stale as musicians. And you can tell when you get stale, you know, you don't feel good. So then the shows tended to be off, but no one cared no one knew if it was good or bad. You know, we'd do the same show in two towns. One, we'd come off feeling good, and one, we'd come off feeling bad, but we'd get the same reaction to both shows. No one would know the difference, bar us.
That is slightly inadequate feeling, isn't it?
Well, you feel like, what am I doing? You know, I'm playing the biggest load of shit in the world, and people are standing and cheering.
Yes.
You know, which isn't good for you.
Not very fulfilling,
no,
is it?
In no way. No. Yeah.
Interview with Ringo Starr, London, December 1973.
I feel that you have this sort of instantly likeable personality, and because of this, I've noticed people often in that position, they have to be cautious with people. Otherwise, it's easy for people to try and take advantage of them, Ringo.
Yeah.
Does this happen to you? People think you're so likeable, they can come up and touch you or ask you things that they might not normally with someone they think is a bit more formidable.
Yes, that's possibly true. But the way my reaction is that I sort of tend to like most people till they create some sort of crap, you know, and then I just totally ignore the people.
And do you feel they've let you down?
A lot of them, yeah.
Yes.
A lot of them do.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, maybe I must let a lot of people down too, you know. Mm. I mean, you know, you get all those people saying, oh, I thought you were bigger than that, so I saw you on telly. So I must blow their brains out. You know, oh, have you lost a lot of weight? You look so much fatter in those films you do. You know, so we do it to each other.
Yes, so you feel there's a fair compromise.
But I think you're right, they do come up to me because I'm such a nice guy.
Do you find it easy to handle, though?
Yes.
Is that because of the strength of your Liverpudlian background?
It's mainly through fear.
So what do you do?
Well, you do anything.
You can never imagine you saying get lost to anyone. Or have you actually done it?
Well, we asked when we just got back from Bermuda, we had a few days there. Harry Nielsen, Hillary and I.
Yes.
And we were just sitting quietly on these rocks looking at an ocean. I don't know which one it is, the Atlantic or the Dead Sea, I'm not sure which one. They all look a bit the same. And this long-haired freak came up. Well, he's not a freak, just this guy, you know, young dude came up saying, hey, is that Ringo? Is it really? Can we come and talk to you? And it wasn't my day to talk to him, so I said, well, I'm sitting with my friends, just quiet, looking at the ocean. We'd just like to talk to each other because we were talking,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So he said, can I take a photo? So I said, listen, you know, everyone's taking photos. It just gets a bit boring. Do you mind? You know, just don't do it, you know. No. Just give us a break, you know. I'd just like to have a few days off with you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So then he sneaked around a rock and took a picture. You know, I just did a click and his head shot down because I got very good ears for cameras.
Mm.
And I said, oh, you're just like all the rest, meaning, you know, all the tourists and people like that. And with that, he leapt up and smashed his camera right in front of me.
Oh, did he?
Which is it's an amazing situation because you don't know what he's going to do next after that.
No.
You know, so after that, he was called the Kodak Killer. But we're very lucky he let us off. You know, it's this, and then there's other people, and you say, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a break, you know.
Mm.
And I had one woman shout, scream at me when I just wouldn't sign. I just didn't feel like signing. I'm just like all you other humans. I like to do things and I don't like to do things. Depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I said, no, do you mind if I don't sign? Because once one starts, and it usually does in a restaurant, as soon as one starts,
in a restaurant?
Yeah,
yes.
Then they all start.
Yes.
So you have no break and you have no time with your pals and you can't eat. You know, and people putting your fork out your mouth, you know, taking food out your mouth.
Mm.
I said, well, if you don't mind, because once I start one, I'd like, you know,
yeah,
they all come
in. Starts, yes.
So if you'd be so nice, and I'm sure your daughter would understand if you just told her. And I'm sure the daughter would. That's the problem. It's all these 40-year-olds with purple hair who are hassling you.
Mm.
I said, just tell her, you know, I say hello, and that's it, and she'll be very pleased. So she just screamed at me, you've ruined your whole career. It's terrible. What? Because I didn't sell one with a crappy cigarette paper, you know, a cigarette box. So you get all things. And then you get nice ones. You say, you know, please, you know, I'm just trying to rest or whatever. And they say, okay, that's nice. And they go away. So there's no, like, set pattern. You get the good ones and the bad ones, you know.
Mm. But like anyone
else, then another day I'll sign them all. You know, it depends how I feel.
Yeah. But like anyone else, you do wake up some days where you feel you want to talk to people and days that you feel that you don't want to.
Some days I wake up and
moods.
I feel, right, like everyone else, and people forget that, you know.
Mm.
Also, I always think, well, if you buy a loaf of Mother's Pride, you don't go knocking on Mr. Mother's Pride door saying, I bought your loaf, I own you.
No, quite.
You know, and take up all your day, so.
But I suppose, being a personality, we should expect these things. I don't know. I'd like all that goes on, but with the, you know, like definite holidays.
Yeah.
Like a bank holiday where no one will bug you at all.
What have you invested your money in, Ringo?
Me, mainly.
You have?
Yes, I've bought a lot of toys.
What sort
of never invested in anything, you know. Just cameras and pool tables and slot machines and, you know, things like that, you know. That's all.
You don't have lots of shares?
No.
Do you keep your money in the bank?
What little I've got. Because I spend it all.
You do?
The money was here. Invented to spend, and it's very easy to spend it now. It goes as far for me as it does for anyone else.
But you must be very wealthy, mustn't you?
No, that's what people think. I'm not wealthy at all.
You say the others are all better off than you.
Well, I think John and Paul are definitely better off than me, mainly on the publishing.
Yes.
And George has got a lot of publishing too.
Yes.
You know, and as making money, I mean, I don't write that much, and that's anyone in the business tell you there's more in writing than ever performing. We never got in for performing. That's just a promo gig, you know.
Yes.
No matter what they say, it's mainly a promo gig. But I'm all right. I'll get
right.
Over Christmas.
We haven't got to have a collection, then. What is the future of Apple?
The future of it is undecided at the moment. We're going through a lot of turmoil trying to straighten ourselves out because we're still tied to each other, which isn't fair because we, you know, it's not fair that I should share in Paul's efforts or he should share in mine at the moment because we don't work together.
No.
You know, so we're trying to sort that out, but we did all sign those silly pieces of paper when we were lads.
Which keep you together.
Which keep
for
us
how
together
long?
Until 76. And you know, Apple will have to go on forever because it all, you know, it has all the Beatles stuff.
So it means whatever you do now, I mean, if John makes an album, you benefit from John's album, regardless of whether or not you're on it.
I could just sit down for the next 2 years, not work, do anything, and collect. Which is not fair, you see, because that's
and
what...
And he can benefit from
yours. Any one of us can do it, you know, any one of us can say, well, that's me, I'll see you in 76, just send the check. So it's not fair, you know. So we're trying to stop that, but it's very hard because, you know, once you sign your name on a piece of paper, they try and make you stick by it if it's fair or not, you know. There's no way you can go and say, well, listen, it's not really fair, we'd like to change this. Oh, but you signed your name, got you by the balls.
Are you still a vegetarian?
Yes, I eat meat twice a year. Bonfire night, I have a sausage, and Christmas, I have the turkey with the festivities because it's exciting.
Yeah.
I get excited over Christmas. So they're the 2 days I have.
Yes. And if you could change anything in your life, what would it be?
Well, I've always thought I'd never change anything, even the bad times, you know, because then they showed you what the good times were. You know, you have something to compare if you have them both.
Yes.
I mean, I've enjoyed most of it, you know.
Yes.
And I was a sickly child, and I'd go through that again if I was here now, talking to
you. Were you a sickly child?
Oh, yes, very sick.
In what way? What
I had peritonitis and TB.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
That can't be bad.
So you have to be careful about your health even now, I should think.
Well, no, you're kidding. Who's careful about their health? None of us are, 60 ciggies a day.
No.
Really does your lungs up. Nothing to be proud of. Don't go and smoke if you don't have to. I mean, I'm just...
You said you believed in reincarnation. So that means if one day you leave, you will come back as something else.
No. Well, you'll never come back as a cabbage. You never come back lower, and this is supposed to be the highest form.
I wonder what you'd like to come back as.
Well, I'd like to come back as one of our cats. They have a great time. But it's not possible. I'll be back here as a human, struggling again, trying to remember what I forgot this time.
Thank you.